We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Final hour of Sports Talk. Zach Street filling in tonight for Christian Garrick along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Learned a lot of good stuff tonight, Bobby. We've learned that the first home game, well, it's not a good thing, but it's good to know. First home game, we won't have any fans. We've learned the things that Marcus Davenport's looking to improve on this season to make an impact. We talked a little bit about how Emmanuel Sanders is going to fit into this team. And, you know, there's a lot of – it's incredible how many unknowns there are for us at this point in the season, especially on a team where usually this time of the year, all we're really talking about is who's going to make it. Right? That's usually like the only conversation that we have. It's day to day. Who's going to make it? Right. And,
well, you know, Zach, who's a dark horse or something, you know, the roster's already established, you know, well, you know, you could have a handful of issues. Well, if you're not established as an NFL team, you might have two handfuls, you know, and what direction you're going to go. So no, that's the stability that we have within the Saint organization. But Zach, I can tell you this: I don't know if you feel this way, and the season's not over; it's a long season. But I'm expecting us to be 1-0 whether we have fans or not. I mean, I want to say the opening line. I know I read this somewhere. This might have been around the draft that the Saints, even with Tom Brady on board with the Buccaneers, were like a 4-point favorite. Now I don't know if they acknowledge the fans or not, but the Saints are just better than Tampa Bay. Listen, Tampa Bay, I think, could be a playoff team. I even said this in the past. I think the Falcons underachieved. I think you're going to have three teams coming out of the NFC South and all because the expansion of the wild card and all be playoff teams. I can tell you what, I'd be extremely surprised. Now, Carolina can upset someone's season. But I'd be surprised if Carolina would be in the mix to go to the playoffs. But I think Atlanta, I think Tampa Bay and the Saints obviously are right there. I mean, is that competitive a division?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, listen, obviously Tampa Bay has that opportunity. You know, to Tampa Bay, it's going to come down to, you know, can they fix their secondary? And they tried to address that during the draft, but they've been trying to address the secondary in the draft for about four seasons now, and they have not been able to address it. And that's really been their Achilles heel. So the number one rush defense in football last season, you know, and now with the offensive prowess that they have, you're going to have to beat them by throwing the football, and they have not really been able to stop anyone doing that.
Now, Zach, what is your take? Because you're in the trenches and looking at the interior. Because I think Vita Bay is a load. And then you look at Ndamukong Suh. Welcome to the NFL, Cesar Ruiz. I want you to comment on that. I think he would be a right guard versus McCoy and keeping McCoy at center. But Andres Pete and McCoy and Cesar Ruiz, boy, you don't ease into the NFL considering he probably never played nobody as dominant when he wants to do it. As a Ndamukong Suh, and then you look at Vita Vey. I mean, it's going to be a big challenge for, I think, interior line for the get-go.
Yeah. That's not the most ideal first game in the NFL as an interior lineman, you know, to catch those guys. Listen, I think that the entire defensive line is good. It's a good defensive front. I think for a long time that linebacking core has been very good. And, you know, I certainly think that, you know, where they finished last year, adding Devin White and Lavonte David as good as he's been again. The question mark on that team defensively is on the back end and whether, you know, that back end can hold together. That's going to be a very challenging first game. I'll tell you, their scheme is really it's really difficult for offensive linemen. You know, they bring in Todd Bowles to run that defense, and there's a lot of cross fits. There's a lot of movement in that defense. It really is. It's a tough team to run the football against. And now, you know, they have two talented pass rushers on that team, Jason Pierre-Paul, and you know, across from him, Shaquille Barrett. So, you know, it's a good group. I think Tampa Bay is very talented. I think Tampa Bay is a playoff team this year. You know, I think they just have the one question mark, and they have the reality of the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not the greatest organization in sports. And that does play a factor in the National Football League. And, you know, now things change in a hurry when you bring in a player like Tom Brady. They do. It changes everybody's mindset. It changes everyone's perception of what is acceptable. And I expect that to happen there. So, you know, if there's going to be three teams in the NFC South, which I don't see, but I do think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the competition for the Saints. I do not see this as a year that the Saints are going to win the division by six games. It's not going to happen anymore. Now, Atlanta, on the other hand, I have all kinds of issues with still. Offensively, I think it's a good football team. I think Matt Ryan's a capable quarterback. I think, you know, Julio Jones, one of the top wide receivers in football, all of those things. On the offensive line in Atlanta has been, it's acceptable. It's not, you know, it's not winning any beauty contests up front, but defensively that football team is just, they don't have an identity. And they just don't. They don't even know who they are. I think they've been trying to be, you know, the Legion of Boom for 5 years now, and they just aren't. But Zach,
does this come into play, though, from a confidence standpoint? They won at New Orleans. I guess you could catch lightning in a bottle. They won at New Orleans, and they won at San Francisco. And we consider the Saints and the 49ers being the two best teams in the NFC. So they won both those games on the road. So, I mean, that has to give them somewhat confidence that can they put it together. You might say that was luck or whatever.
They played well at the end of the season in 2018, too. I mean, every year is new, right? I mean, every single year is new and different and all those things. You know, no, I don't think it makes a difference. I don't. I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. I don't think that, you know, Green Bay getting run all over the field by the 49ers last year means that they are not going to be able to stop the run any games this year. I don't think it carries over that way. I think the Atlanta Falcons are a team that doesn't know who they are or what they want to be. I really don't.
No.
I think that they have been grasping at straws in Atlanta, trying to put a team around Matt Ryan for quite some time. They got the 1 year where everything came together for them, and it's never been consistent there. It just hasn't. And again, I don't think they know who they are or what they want to be.
Now, Zach, when you talk about stability of the offense and obviously on the defensive front, considering we didn't have an OTA mini camp and now a limited training camp, then you're going to put on the pads. Would that be asking too much to put Ruiz at center and McCoy at guard? Wouldn't it make sense just to keep McCoy at center and then Ruiz, you ease him into the NFL because, listen, it's a lot harder, I think, responsibility playing center than guard to take that approach. What is your take? Or do you think Ruiz could end up at center and McCoy guard?
I do think he could. I think it's going to be hard with the circumstances, and I think that the team's perception is, given what the offseason is this year, that they'd probably be better off settling him somewhere because he's going to be limited with reps anyways. And I think that he will be at guard this year. That being said, the concern and the difficulty of putting a new center in with the timing and the communication is really dependent on that player. You know,
right?
Listen, Eric did it last year, and there was exchange issues during training camp last year with Eric McCoy.
Yes.
There was, and we didn't see that during the season. You know, and it takes a lot of reps to create muscle memories, to create, you know, a consistency between people. He was late with snaps well into training camp. You know, there's a bunch of things that kept coming up for him, but he had a lot more reps at it. He had a lot of more opportunities. That's not to say that that's what Cesar Ruiz will do when he comes in. He may not have any of those problems. He may walk in the first day and that stuff's all fine. And they say, let's give it a shot. Let's see, you know, I think he's a better fit at center. I don't think he's a long-term answer at guard. I don't think that he has the anchor for it. I think that Eric McCoy does. And my guess is that is the direction that they will want to go, is to ultimately have Eric McCoy slide to guard and Ruiz to play center.
And, you know, Zach, when we come back from the break, I want you to talk about, elaborate, if Andres Pete is going to take that next step. Now, they paid him to take that next step, and we've had unbelievable guards here. You know, Carl Nix, Jari Evans, even looking at Ben Grubbs, Larry Wolfer, what they did. Is Andres Pete maybe ready to take that next step? And, like, against a player, now, it's easier said than done, against an Aaron Donald or a Dominican Sue type player, because it seems like they get in his head at times, and I want you to elaborate on that.
We'll talk about it and lots more. Bobby and I will be with you till 8 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Zach Strief here filling in tonight for Christian Garrick along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Bobby, before we left, you asked me a question. You want to repeat it for anyone who missed?
Yeah. Does Andres Pete, now he's been rewarded an unbelievable contract, to take that next step considering under Sean Payton the outstanding guard play that we've had? I mean, like Hall of Fame level. I look at Carl Nix. I look at Jari Evans. Even we brought in Ben Grubbs and then Larry Wolford. Even if they went Hall of Fame level, they're like Pro Bowl level. And I know Andres Pete is at a Pro Bowl level. And the one game I can remember, boy, he was so dominant. You remember when we embarrassed the Buffalo Bills on the road and got his run blocking? That game was unbelievable. But it seems like when you step up in competition and you're going against maybe the better interior lines, maybe the linemen that have a reputation like Aaron Donald or Dominican Sue. Now, a lot of people can't block them, but it seems like he really struggles with those guys.
Well, yeah, I think your point is probably made. Everybody struggles against, I wouldn't put in Dominican Sue and
Aaron Donald
in the same sentence, really, in terms of the types of players that they are. But, you know, listen, I don't know, you know, what jump there is left for Andres. I think, you know, when Andres is playing well, he's a really, really good football player. And I just think it's at times a consistency issue, but it's also over the last couple of years been a whole bunch of injury problems. And he's played through them, and, you know, that's what you want to see your guys do, right? You want to see them play through things and fight through injuries and, you know, come back from broken bones in a couple of weeks and play anyways. You want to see that, but it comes at a cost. There's a price to it, right? And it doesn't always look good. And you know, what the team is essentially saying is, you know, we feel more comfortable with you at 80% than we do with him at 100%. That's the reality. And I think you get sensitive to that maybe as a player who's had to do it. And you have to deal, and you have to learn to deal with that criticism that comes with how you play, because nobody really cares if you're healthy or you have one leg working or one ankle working or whatever. You know, nobody cares. And so, you know, I do think over the last couple of years, some of those games, you know, Andrew's dealt with a lot of things, both upper and lower bodies, and you know, a lot of them haven't kept him out of games. I do know this. I think Andres had a really good offseason. I think he came in at a really good playing weight. He did the things that he needed to do while he was gone. I've heard nothing but good reports coming out so far about Andres Pete and where he is right now. And I think that's really promising, because this is a very easy offseason to go the wrong direction. It's a very easy offseason to come in overweight.
Right.
You know, and he didn't, you know, and I think that shows maturity, because I don't know if that would have been the case 4 years ago. You know, I think that he understands
how he's matured as a football player.
Yeah. And I think you really, you know, listen, I think Andrews is he's a proud player. I think he really does have, he likes playing football. He's interesting to watch on game day, because he really is a different kind of a person. He is highly competitive. He is, I don't see him as a guy that's afraid of a name. You know, but again, when you play some of those guys in certain, you know, scenarios with where you're at and where your body is and what you're dealing with, man, it can look bad in a hurry. You know, it just can. And I don't know how else to say that. And people will claim that's an excuse. It's just reality, right? Listen, we played the Houston Texans, and I don't even remember what year this is now. I would guess 2016, maybe. It was the weirdest thing, Bobby. I get to the facility one day. It was Wednesday or Thursday, and I can't externally rotate my arm. It'll go in, but I can't raise it up. It'll only go about to my chest, and I can't rotate my hand out at all. It won't leave kind of right next to my body. I have no pain.
Well, and you have to block J.J. Watt coming up, right?
Yeah. And it was the weirdest week, Bobby. And you know, listen, you say it doesn't hurt. I don't know what it ended up being was a cyst that was sitting on a nerve in my shoulder, and it essentially shut down my arm. It just didn't work. And it was a weird deal. And, you know, I think there's two types of players in the National Football League. There's the ones that want to make sure before they go and play like that, that everybody knows that they're dealing with something. And then there's the ones that don't open their mouths. And Andrus has not opened his mouth. He's a quiet guy by nature. He's very reserved. And so a lot of times when something is bothering Andrus, literally there's people in the building that barely know about it. And so, you know, I think we've seen Andrus in some big games. You know, you take the playoffs in 2018. Andrus was banged up severely. And he was grinding. He was doing what he could. And you know, again, if you're on the field playing, it's because you're giving your team the best option, right? If you don't, then they're not going to let you play in that state that you're in. And he kept going. And he kept playing. And you know, it didn't look great. And he takes a lot of heat for it. And, you know, at the end of the day, Bobby, I respect that. Because I think those are the types of people that you want on the field. You never heard Alvin Kamara last year. Well, everybody's criticizing him. What's wrong with Alvin? Something's wrong. He's not the same guy. Exactly. You know, he's worried about his contract. He's worried about this. And then you find out after the fact, you know, in reality, Alvin was grinding the best he could. He was trying to help his team, and he was banged up and probably shouldn't have been on the field. But that's the National Football League, and you know that, Bobby. Sometimes you're out there and you're saying, I don't even know why I'm out here, but I'm going to give it my best and do my best. And I think having a lot of those guys on your team in the long run is beneficial.
Yeah, because listen, you have to play hurt. The difference between injury and hurt, if you don't play hurt, you don't last in the NFL. They'll get someone else.
Right.
But you know what's a good thing? That you look at the Saints' depth on the offensive line. How about plug and play and money well invested, Nick Easton?
Yeah.
And the job that he did. Then you look at a veteran. I think Saints could cut offensive linemen that could play for other teams, like a Will Clapp, like a Cameron Tom. Now, it's going to be tough to make it. Patrick Omame, I mean, I'm looking at him. Ethan Greenidge. But there's a lot of competition there. And then, Zach, I wanted you to comment, because I don't know if we're going to get to see enough, because, boy, when you look at his resume, he's played every position in offensive line. Calvin Throgmorton from Oregon. I mean, here's a guy. Look at the number of starts. Zach, he's played every position, basically. Right tackle, right guard, left guard, center. Whatever they ask him, so far. That just seems like a player on paper that I don't know what he's going to do in this limited time, but you'd put him on the practice squad simply because of that ability, maybe, and that potential.
Yeah, and actually, we're going to – when I'm going to have Mark pull this. Actually, Mark, if you could right now, pull up Peyton 11 for us, because he talks about the practice squads, and I think that's going to play into it, Bobby, for a couple reasons. One, they've expanded the practice squad rosters to 16, and the other thing they've done is they've allowed veterans into that group. So it pretty much almost anybody is eligible now for the practice squad. I think they keep up to 7 guys who have that status. But you look at a guy like James Hurst that got brought in from Baltimore, a guy who's played, started in the National Football League, Patrick Omame. You mentioned Will Clapp, Nick Eason. There's a lot of options there. But let's listen to Sean talk about that earlier today.
There's a few things going on. Number one, you know, the numbers have gone up to 16. Number two, the qualifications for that squad have changed, where you can have veteran players, 7 players a part of that squad. And so, you know, it's a bigger list. It's also a different type of list than we've dealt with in before. And then, lastly, how important is it relative to the pandemic we're dealing with this season? How important is it that you feel like, hey, you've got depth and you've prepared maybe in for worst case scenarios? But I do think the expanded practice squad. Look. If you just look at the numbers and you say 53 and then 53 and 16, you're at 69 now, call it as a team. You know, that's considerably different than a year ago. And then knowing we're at 80 already, you know, I just think there are a number of things that are different about this year's practice squad outside of even – COVID-19, if you're just looking at some of the changes that have taken place, that you really have a chance to carry veteran help on your team, young players on your team to develop, all of those things we'll have to manage and plan accordingly.
Being increased to 16 players, I think, is monumental. And that's something I think the NFL had to do. We don't know what's going to happen with the virus, and I think the games will go on. At times, you might say, well, who is this guy? No, it's not the XFL or old-school NFL Europe. It's a guy that we have available on our team, maybe understands what we're doing. I think the fans would more recognize maybe a skilled player, or obviously people want to see Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. But let's say you have a setback and you're dealing with a virus. That's why the expanded practice squad, I think, is significant. When you go into 16 players and you look typically in the past how we're able, you know, to get a player that you wouldn't probably get now because the Packers would have protected him, Taysom Hill. How all of a sudden we like Taysom Hill, we steal him off the practice squad. Well, this year you won't be able to do that. You won't be able to poach your practice squad players if they sign a player, you know, to their active roster. And this time, which could be interesting, and you can look at it week in and week out, that the Saints and all the NFL teams could protect 4 of their players each week from getting poached or getting nabbed. You know, because you're like, well, these 4 players, I tell you what, if we put them out there and we don't protect them, some of the NFL teams going to get them. So I think that's a good thing. When you look at the expanded roster and what we're dealing with, it just makes sense. Because I think the games will go on. Now, you might say, well, how many players are testing positive? When you think about it, this seems like a lot of a big number. And if it's spread about across the league, let's say like you have 100 players, whatever. You got 32 teams. That's not really bad. It's when all of a sudden you have 100, 120 players, and maybe you're dealing with 4 or 5 teams. That's when it comes into play. But if you could spread it out and you're dealing with the virus, the games are going to go on. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I think so too. But, I think that development of how that squad has changed is substantial. And, again, we're 11 guys away from the final roster right now when you factor in the practice squad. So, you know, depth in the offensive line. And, again, you have a room where, you know, those guys are in close contact all the time. They got to work together.
Yeah.
If it's going to run through a room, it's going to run through the offensive line room way before it runs through the wide receivers. So I think the Saints having that depth is good, and I think that's a conscious decision that they've made to do that. We'll step away. Lots more here. You're listening to Sports Talk on WWL.
Oh.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert. I'm Zach Strief with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Bobby, a couple of things that have come out, and again, we're finally starting to get a look inside some of these practices. But, you know, one kind of rookie of note here, Tommy Stevens, the quarterback slash, you know, our perception is it's a Taysom Hill attempt, right?
But Zach, he got the wrong number.
Well, listen, he's wearing number one at practice. He's listed as number 85 in the program, and listed as a tight end on the roster officially today.
So, well, Zach, but I heard he could block. I mean, I don't know. They haven't even put it on the pads, but I guess they're looking at past film, and maybe they like his aggressive spirit. But to go from 1 to 85, that's a lot of flexibility.
that is a lot of flexibility. You know, it'll be the Saints had two players opt out this season. Both of them were tight ends. And you don't, you know, you wonder, was there not just a point where there was a conversation of this is your best chance? I mean, you know, right. We don't have anyone behind the three guys that, you know, you've got Jared Cook, you've got Josh Hill, and you know, you go out and get Adam Trautman, you know, in the draft and give away the rest of your picks for him. You know, so that might just be an area where there's a practice squad opening that they know is going to exist, not to mention this team is not carrying a fullback right now.
Well, you know, I like still Zach, and he's made plays in practice. Air Force Academy, Garrett Griffin.
Yep.
I mean, I look even Garrett Griffin at times now. I'm not saying not a typical tight end number. You look number 45, 6'4", 240, got a couple of years' experience, 26 years of age. But he's flashed at times. So it'll be interesting to see if he is competing for him against him. The bottom line is, Zach, Tommy Stevens, I don't care what number you give him, he'll do his mindset. He'll do whatever it takes to make the team. You know, if I got a block, I got to go out for a route, play quarterback, whatever. I got to go down on kickoff coverage, punt coverage. Boy, that's when it's a shame because I can see the Saints protecting that kind of guy because it's not fair this offseason because you'd want to actually see him in a game and maybe in different roles. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Another guy, you know, these players that we don't necessarily talk about a lot, and you mentioned – you know, the number three receiver, further down the depth, really, on the receiver depth chart. And you look at a guy like Benny Fowler, and I always think it's interesting when you bring in somebody that has just worked out with your quarterback. You know, when Benny Fowler was brought in, Benny Fowler has a very close relationship with Emmanuel Sanders. They were in Denver together. And Emmanuel Sanders called Benny Fowler and said, hey, why don't you come out here? Drew's going to come and throw. He said, we need some more receivers. It was a guy that he had kind of mentored. He was an undrafted free agent in Denver in 2014, which was Emmanuel Sanders' biggest season as a pro. And you know, he goes and he flies out there and he works out with Drew Brees for 3 days. And then suddenly Benny Fowler signed by the Saints. And, you know, you really do – I think a lot of times you think to yourself, there's something there because there's no question the quarterback was asked. And nobody knows the quarterback's getting asked. And the quarterback says, get him. And, you know, obviously Drew Brees seen a lot of receivers come through and knows what he's looking at in that regard. And he was a guy that, you know, they decided to bring in. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, when you bring up Benny Fowler and obviously versus any scout or any coach, if you're going to have a relationship with a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees, that'd be the same case with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, whoever, Russell Wilson, whoever you look at. And if you're working out with him and they tell you scouting department or the front office, man, I think this guy can play. Why not give him a chance? And so good for him. And definitely, I think Drew Brees had some influence there, like you said.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see, huh, Bobby? I guess we'll get to see soon enough, right around the corner. Padded practices starting on Monday. Bobby, we're going to step away. You're listening to Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby, so let me ask you this, Bobby. If they're going to pipe crowd noise into the Superdome, since there's not going to be any fans, who do you think controls the dial?
They didn't let me control the dial. I mean, I would know what to do. If they put me in charge, I know what to cheer and not cheer, and to be fair, because I know and when to do the Who Dat chant and all that, stand up and get crunk. I know what to do. I mean, I'm sure someone else could do it. But if they need some advice, I could say when they needed to pipe in the noise at the right time. I know I could do that. I could be the utmost cheerleader. Come on, Zach. I know what to do.
Does the crowd noise just increase in volume, or do they have, like, ambient noise crowd noise and cheering crowd noise and pre-snap crowd noise? Do you think it's going to be that advanced?
It has to be, to me, when the opposing offense is in the huddle, that's when I want it the loudest. And then when they come to the line of scrimmage, that's when I want it the loudest. So you disrupt communication. Once the play is going, it could be dead silent. That didn't even bother me. It's all about the opposing offense in the huddle and at the line of scrimmage. I'm telling you, that's when you have a significant impact. But don't feel advantaged. That's the same thing at Arrowhead or Seattle, whatever it might be. Now, you can't just have everybody screaming just to be screaming or doing some chant like you have at a European soccer game or something. No, you have to know when to cheer the loudest. And so I definitely can help them out. But I think the Saints will be on top of that.
Bobby and I want to thank Steve Geller, our producer, for putting this together tonight. Mark Menard back at home base for running the board for us. Diane Newman, our executive program director. And I want to thank all of you for listening in. Enjoyed it tonight. Bobby, take us away, buddy.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.